wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Who can save a human soul? Raise your hands. You all hear my challenge. Who? Speak up. Lots of hands go up. While all are so different in their first names, yet they each one have the same last name. It is church. And as each one contends that it is the church the Bible speaks of. The first one speaks of its mass, its confessional, its penance, its power to pronounce the forgiveness of sins to its members. And while none know they are saved here on earth, yet they pray to get them through their purgatorial fires after they die. We ask, but when are they saved? You acknowledge that they're not saved in this life, and they just hope for relief in the life beyond death. You are the largest church, and you do hold a religious enchantment over your members, but you must put your hand down. The question was, who can save a human soul? And since no soul is saved by your religion, as you admit, you had no right to answer. Next, another church has the floor, and it tells of its baptism that washes away sins and that makes one a Christian. And having met the terms, their members are so sure they're right, they debate with others and always win the arguments. We ask, and are your members saved? They declare that they hope to be if they're faithful to the end. But the challenge was not who can make people hope they will be saved, but who can save a human soul. You two must sit down. Another hand gets the nod, and they tell of their church, founded by great preachers, and how they always move to modernize their doctrines to keep abreast of the times. They teach their people to be good and try to get the best out of life, to love everybody, and never to make an issue over any Bible doctrine. And surely, if they try to live that way, they'll be saved at last. We ask, but when are they saved? When is this at last? Is it when they breathe their last breath? They reply, really, we do not talk about salvation or this being born again. We want them to just do the best they can and count on the mercy of God for their failures. Since you bypass salvation, you should have never put up your hand at all. Sit down. What has happened to all those other hands? They figure that if those big churches are silenced, they would only make fools of themselves to try. Just one hand remains. He's a big, handsome man and is given license to answer the challenge, who can save a human soul? He speaks. I think it is up to a man to save his own soul. And this he does by trying to live right and to treat his neighbor right. I don't know whether there is a hellfire or not, but if there is, then a just God would never put a person who lives my way into tormenting fire. And if there is a heaven, I don't believe in looking to Jesus to take one there, but we must take ourselves there by our good life here. We ask him, and have you now saved your soul? When did you save it? He replies, I never claimed I was saved, nor do I believe that anyone is saved now. Then you should have remained silent, for your way neither saved you or others, as you acknowledge. So I proceed. I invite these four representatives of four classes of people to come with me outside. There I bid them to look heavenward, that sun, those vast heavens with their stars, moon, and planets. I ask, did any of you four create all that heavenly universe? Or maybe you made a heaven just as wonderful. Where is it? I would like to see it. Silence reigns. Then I speak of this earth with all its treasures, both seen and hidden, with its mountains and rivers and oceans, and I ask, did any of you create this earth? Or did you make another globe just as wonderful? Where is it? I would like to see it. Again, no hands up and not a whisper. In their silence, I have the floor, and I proceed.
No wonder none of you can save one human soul. You could not even create a heaven and an earth. To create a universe was easy. It was as nothing for God to do. He just spoke the word, and out of nothing they sprang forth. But when God undertook to save a human soul, that this was not done in a second of time, nor was it done by a word of his omnipotent power. Linger, for it's a long story, while I tell you. It presented to God the greatest problem of eternity, and in his eternal counsels he faced it. How could he save and bring back man to himself after he fell into sin and followed Satan? In those eternal counsels, as God, in his perfect foreknowledge, had already the blueprint of man's fall and ruin before him. The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in deep thought. When God the Son speaks up, "My Father, I will go and become man. I will live among men to tell them of thee. Then I will become their Savior, as I will bear their sin and guilt and curse. And thou wilt punish me in their behalf. Then thou canst be just and show mercy to them, and instead of them being hopelessly damned, they can be saved." To this, the Holy Triune God agreed, and each would do his part. The Father to give his beloved Son, the Son to die for our sins, the Spirit to raise him from the dead, and for God to enthrone him in heaven as Lord of all, and there, as the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And now, those eternal counsels of the living God have become history. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and perfectly finishing the work of our salvation, as he cried, "It is finished." That work of redemption released the grace of God to us, fallen, ruined sinners, and made possible our salvation. And he arose out of death, defeating Satan, conquering death, and not only opening a locked grave, but opening the door to heaven for us, hell-bound victims of Satan and slaves to sin. I must pause to cry, "Hallelujah! What a Savior is Jesus my Lord!" And today, Jesus Christ the Lord is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, as God's word declares of him. Eternal salvation, experienced right here and now, and a salvation that cold death cannot knock out, but it goes on and on forever into the courts of heaven, forever with the Lord Jesus. Neighbor, if any church tries to get your faith for salvation, tell them, "When you can create a heaven and earth, then I'll listen to you. But if you can't even do that, don't talk to me about your saving my soul. You don't even know what it's all about." And neighbor, if pride swells your heart and head, just put it in the dust with this. When you become the creator of a heaven and earth, then speak. But till then, hush your boastful imaginations. I'm not studying about you. Neighbor, Jesus saves. He alone. There is salvation for you and me only in Jesus. Do you want that eternal salvation? The Bible says, "Unto all them that obey him, you must first surrender to Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to obey him, and then trust in him alone as your Savior." Is he your choice? And is this your decision? If so, God is waiting to hear it. Hear what? "Tell God, O thou God of all grace, thy mercy has melted my heart. I believe thy gospel to me, and I now yield to Jesus Christ thy Son to be my Lord, to obey and live for him, and to be my Savior. For henceforth I will trust only in him for my salvation. Lord Jesus, please receive me and make me thine own forever. Amen." And he will. And from this hour, you will thank our Lord Jesus and praise God for his eternal salvation. Save now and save forevermore. Saved not by any church, nor by any works or merits of your own, but saved by the Lord Jesus Christ alone, a salvation paid for in full as he gave himself in sacrifice on Calvary's cross, a salvation as sure as his resurrection and ascension to heaven, where, as supreme on the throne, is the man in whom all our faith centers, and whom we confess as the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is so wonderful as God's salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord? May each one who hears this message rejoice in this salvation. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant David Brinkman.
When you're counting the cost of your soul being lost, oh, forget not the flames and torment that lie just beyond death as you breathe your last breath. Oh, the torment. Oh, the torment at last. Have you counted the cost of your soul being lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, for tonight it may be that in hell you'll be lost. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost?